mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 46. Studying her maps as the tank approached the harbor, Azula considered a triangle of betrayal. Byakko, Polhai Stronghold, the Northern Air Temple. The last seemed foolish on the face of things, but Uncle Iroh believed in spirits, in tradition, and in honor to the restless dead. Sane commanders would only see a crushing defeat in the north. Uncle would see something far more dire. Dire enough to drive him to blatant treachery and take my brother with him? She still didn't have as many details about her brother's escape from the north as she wanted. She had more now, certainly. Hawks to the Onsen Zakura and other places her brother had been sighted, had made sure of that. But how, exactly, her brother and uncle had managed to last 3 weeks on a makeshift raft in the middle of the northern seas with only scavenged supplies? Zuzu was always hard to kill. Azula wouldn't have liked to try it herself. She could admit that, with no one else in the room. It would have been stressful. And most people are too weak to deal with stress properly. Given her brother had never quite gotten a grip on the restful habit of working out frustrations by finding someone to barbecue, a few days with Uncle at a spa wouldn't have been nearly enough to calm down. Then again, given the choice between a few days at a spa with Uncle and a few weeks fighting off sea vultures, the spa might have been worse. Trapped with tea, Uncle flirting with any pretty girl in sight, and laziness, Zuko must have been climbing the walls. Azula grimaced. I miscalculated. Badly. Either she should have grabbed them as soon as they'd hit shore. Impossible, unfortunately. Or waited a few days for Zuko to pry himself loose from Iroh and start hunting the area for Avatar sign again. She should have found an excuse to linger in the harbor. Simply there, rather than approach directly. There had to have been a bit of bribery and smuggling at the docks she could deal with for the throne. There was always smuggling on docks. And interrogations were so amusing. Well, she hadn't. Her brother had still been jumpy enough to react like a soldier under boulder fire. And that idiot captain had opened his mouth. Ah, well. So now her brother and uncle were loose. She'd never assumed Ty Lee had killed them. She hadn't managed it yet. And Gaipan's reports confirmed she still hadn't. And they'd caught up with one of the few people in the Fire Nation she never would have expected to openly defy the Fire Lord. Though Shidan of Byakko hadn't. Quite. Supposedly. Either my spy of a grandfather is utterly sincere, or he's playing our enemies against the Fire Lord. Dangerous, treacherous, and all too likely. Byakko had never really believed in a unified Fire Nation, no matter what Avatar Kyoshi might have decreed. Byakko believed in Byakko. Anyone outside was a potential threat. Which wasn't entirely unreasonable, Azula had to admit. Shiratora wasn't a tame caldera like the capital. Byakko's mountain was a monster on a leash of lives, only willing to lie down because it chose to. How could anyone focus on conquering the world when they had a permanent test of wills in their own backyard? From such a self-absorbed, selfish domain, what could anyone expect but betrayal? They were at war. They were bare months away from needing the Yuyan in the capital for the eclipse. Stealing some of them right out from under their commander's nose making it blatantly obvious that was exactly what Shidan was doing, Lady Kodone's explanation to the Fire Lord had to be a lie. Yet, Byakka was known for not lying. They were careful with the truth, and sometimes suspiciously silent. Reliable sources of Azula's own among the Fire Nation spies said Shidan was under orders from Kotone never to enter the palace or approach the Fire Lord. Ever. Given Azula's own suspicions about her mother's fate, the order made perfect sense. Not that she doubted her father could handle the matter, but it would be so messy. Mother never lied, either. She'd known that as long as she could remember, which was why Ursa's words hurt. She was a monster, and if Tylee was her friend, it was because the acrobat wasn't much different. Air didn't love, didn't feel the way normal people did. No one could love a monster. Zuko loves you. Damn that Water Tribe woman. Though it might even be true. No one had ever accused her brother of sense. Which meant that, insane as it seemed, Azula had to consider the other option. What if Kotone's private message to the Fire Lord was true? Azula traced the river up from Gaipan, along the coast, across northern seas, and around to where a hidden band of Earth Kingdom refugees had built war machines atop a mountain dedicated to peace, and then revolted with the Avatar's help. They control the air. Which is exactly what the Yu Yan were meant to fight. If fighting was what Shidan had in mind, Kotone's message had mentioned using rumors of traitors to the Fire Nation, like Zhang Zhang, to convince the poor fools to let them in. And now, with my brother and uncle, the rumor is truth. Azula tapped a nail against the map, a raindrop pattering of thought. If Zuko really is like Mother, perhaps he's telling the truth, too. The Northern Air Temple and its mechanists were valuable war resources. Leaving them free to fight for the Avatar was unacceptable. Letting them fall into a traitor's grasp? Azula raised an eyebrow, considering treachery and her brother, and the report from Sergeant Aoi and his men. Zuko helped the Avatar, but he's not with the Avatar. The airbender, in point of fact, had allowed Earth General Gang to assault and trap the Suzuran. Bad luck for the general, and far, far worse for the Avatar. A pity great-grandfather Sozin hadn't lived to see it. How he'd have laughed. Healing fire could fracture our nation, but we can deal with civil war. First, we have to survive. And in that one failure to act, Avatar Aang had ensured they would. How deliciously ironic. You think my brother is a fool, Avatar? He is. You think he's harmless, helpless to stop you? You think he is alone. And there you fail. He's not alone. He's not an idiot. If you drove him off, if you made him abandon someone he tried to help, when even exile did not break him of clinging to his duty? Azula considered that, and her brother's simmering rage, and smiled. Zuko and Uncle will take the temple. They will deny it to you, and you have only yourself to blame. She'd have to make sure word reached the Avatar when Zuko succeeded. Rumors to start. Casual, outlandish things the airbender would try to laugh off and shiver at in the depths of night. Then a scattering of firmer facts. And then, oh, and then. Chuckling, Azula scratched nails lightly along steel. Kill the Avatar and another would be born. Crush his spirit, crush his hope, and they would win without fighting. She frowned then and traced the map again. The problem was the skies, or rather, one particular sky bison. So long as the Avatar could travel freely by air, he could return to the temple and win its foolish inhabitants over again. The Yu-Yan would oppose him, but even they couldn't fight an Avatar and hostile civilians on the ground at the same time. Her eye fell on an Earth Kingdom fortress in the north, where the Avatar had been reported at Winter's End. A fortress whose general had tried to leash the Avatar's power to destroy the Fire Nation, and didn't care how many died in the process. Now, what would General Fong do, Azula mused, if he learned Ji the Mechanist worked for the Fire Nation? Timing would be critical. She'd have to calculate Suzuran's speed, how fast Fong would come to a decision, how swiftly he could move his troops for the assault, and coordinate it all by Hawks as she made her way across the ocean as a dutiful daughter. But with a little work? If Fong killed Zuko, not likely, Iroh would kill him, which would rid the Fire Nation of two thorns in one blow. If Fong didn't kill her brother? Fong was a known vicious, arrogant, noble hothead of an earthbender. The methods he would use on civilians who'd fled to the highest mountains in hopes of being left alone would be extreme. Enjoy your present, Zuzu. Jammed into Iroh's cabin with most of his family, Tingcha polished his reading glasses and gave Shidan a look of frank annoyance. What sort of gift of a tale do you have that a child can't hear it? And what sort of family gathering is this that leaves out my son yet includes... Well, if Amaya were here with Iroh and Zuko, it made sense to bring Mai and Lieutenant Taruko in as well. Both Fire Nation ladies had made their interests quite clear, even if Mei Shang had had to explain certain implications to knife sharpening on both sides. He still wasn't sure whether to be amused or aghast at his wife trading comments with the Marine about choosing your level of grit. He wasn't quite sure he wanted to know. And possibly it made sense for Long Sui and Saoluan to be here. Teacher and student could be as tight a bond as family, and the youngest, Yao Ren, would need Zuko's training as much as Jinhai did. Certainly he was no airbender, but the prince was the only living person on the ship who'd ever fought one. Still, why?
You may tell Jinhai of it later, if you wish,
the elderly firebender said gravely.
But it is our custom that such tales are not gifted to those too young to...
He paused, cleared his throat, eyed Jia and Suyin, and, surprising Tingcha, Long Sui and Zuko.
One needs to be of a certain age.
Oh, Saoluan smirked. There's sex in this. Long Sui reddened. Mean blinked, and Zuko looked as if he wanted to sink through the floor. Tingcha eyed a beaming Iroh and felt very sorry for the boys.
Yes, Shidan admitted warily. There is also death and betrayal and a great many complicated things. It is not knowledge that should be within children. It is dangerous.
He smiled gently.
But it is also a beautiful tale, and one that has come too close to being lost. My daughters know all of it, but Ursa left while Zuko was too young for its gift. I would remedy that.
So we have to listen jammed in like sardine herrings? Gia muttered under her breath.
We need to be close enough to join hands, young lady.
Shidan answered unperturbed.
It is the only proper way to live the tale.
Live the tale?
Tingcha wondered, clasping Meishong's right hand as his own gripped Shirong's, and the Dai Li in turn gripped Zuko's. Doesn't he mean here? Shidan's eyes closed, and the world shifted. So loud flocking weapons down is a human gathering, Ryoko Hime thought, crouched next to a few tumbled boulders, as the two-legged group arranged wood, rocks, and various odd containers. When odd humans not trying to kill each other. Not that they ever seemed to really kill each other. They'd gather in separate groupings, posture and yell and charge each other with long metal claws they called swords. Yet no matter how much damage they did to each other, they always seemed to stop short of killing blows. Even the most seriously injured human was always up and around in a few days. She'd hidden near one of the display fights just to watch their healers work. It was magical. Healing, not fire, not water, not air, not earth, not of here. No wonder Father of Fire worries. And when elders claimed Father of Fire was worried, a wise young dragon investigated. Besides, humans were turning out to be fun to watch. Like now, some of the humans had already pegged into the ground the colored web-like shelters, their mouth noises named tents. Others were setting up folding tables and chairs, or building fires in circles of rock to burn wood for no obvious reason. They didn't heal with fire, so why? Look there, Kingami! Ryoko Hime held still, not even letting her tail twitch in interest. Yes, they were supposed to use numbers to refer to the humans. There were so many of them, and no one knew which spirits were supposed to look after these strange creatures. Naming them could be dangerous. But the gold-maned one was kind. He always killed his food cleanly. He walked carefully along cliffs, never stirring stones to strike the unwary below. And often, like now, he had the human young gathered around him, chattering away like sparrowkeets as he arranged rocks in two linked circles, lighting a fire in one and... Oh, interesting. In the larger circle, Kingami had a fire burning steady and even. As it burned, he used a steel paw, a shovel, to scoop embers from the large to the small until he had a steady bed of coals. Neatly done for one who could not bend fire. So what was he doing now? Wind brought the rich scent as Kingami lifted dripping meat from a container. Ryoko Hime licked her fangs. An odd spice scent from the sauces slathered over it. But it was meat being propped on a net of steel to properly cook. And maybe humans weren't as strange as they looked after all. Even if they used throat rumbles of words and ears instead of touch and heart. A juicy scent. And it had been some time since breakfast. Got close? Get closer, maybe? Heh. They didn't call her Asagitatsu's thief for nothing. Step, pause, wriggle. Play big, blue, scaly rock. Step, and remember not to drool no matter how good it smelled. And maybe Prissy Elders might have called the heat shimmers she'd bent around herself to look more like rock and less like dragon, cheating. But this was sneaking, not fighting. Anything was fair in sneaking. Little farther, little more. Looking this way? See only rock? Oof! The human cub slid its hand along her side, looking puzzled, screwed up its face to wail. Eep! Shh! Shh! Sleepy cub! Shh! Warm sleep safe! Find Kingami! Cuddle warm! Odd blue eyes blinked. Small fingers poked azure scales. An image of Kingami fluttered back along that touch, with warm and almost uncle. Yes! Cuddle warm, Kingami, go! Ooh, smells good.
The human cub thought so too, tugging her mane as it scampered over to where Kingami was lifting skewers of meat off the embers, which gave Ryoko Hime an even bolder idea. Going to get yelled at. But even the crankiest, most winter-achy dragon elder would admit it was worth it, just to see how much like dragons humans really were. And to see the looks on their faces. A very large, warm, friendly rock, she nudged herself in at the end of the human cub line, weaving towards the meat. Kingami was taking it off the embers a skewer at a time, pushing bits off onto the cub's flat, rock-like plates with the small metal claw of a fork. The last cub in front of her took its meat and headed for some of the other savories on a table that smelled of greens and fruits and tubers, fried and salted. One hand still wrapped in cloth, Kingami was absently taking yet another skewer off the coals, probably for the adult humans. Delicately, she reached out with a whisker to touch his shoulder. Kingami, one more hungry cub, Sighing, he turned. The look on his face was priceless. Gently, very gently, she plucked the meat and steel from his grip. A swift move of her tongue bent heat away from her teeth. She walked on lava when she had to. This was nothing. He still wasn't moving. She smirked and winked at him. Mine! Urk! He gulped. Ryoko Hime, Asagitatsu's thief. Ha! Gotcha! Hey! Proper introductions made, Ryoko Hime scampered off with her prize, bounding and leaping, not flying. Humans couldn't bend fire, and you did not spill embers around hatchlings. It just wasn't right. There was a lot of angry mouth noise rising behind her. He he he. Up and fly, circle, and yes, there was a perch, in plain view, so she could taunt at will. Landing, she took the metal bit in one claw and slurped the meat off with teeth and tongue. Chomp. Whoa, hot! Water, 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 water! What felt like half a stream later, Ryoko Hime sat on her haunches, panting, and reluctantly smirked. Heh, heh, heh. She tongued a scrap of spiced meat out from between her teeth. Clever, Kingami. Got me. Well, no proper thief would let that pass unchallenged. She'd start by returning the skewer.
Oh.
Tingcha took the cup of tea without a murmur of protest. It wouldn't cure the headache, but it'd at least dull the stabbing knife in his head.
The short mind tales don't hurt.
And how he knew that, the scholar in him shied away from thinking about. Shidan hadn't had time to give them short tales. He'd buried them under Ryoko Hime and her brave human Kingami, under all the tangle of love and peril and spirits that had come with two lives striving to find common ground, under the vast, heartbreaking mess that had been a people struck down by a plague they could not fight, and the desperate bargain with the spirits that had shattered them apart.
We were one people once, not kingdoms and tribes and conquerors. One people, kin.
But dragons and bison were not kin, and sides had been taken. And while cooler heads might have prevailed against that feud, or against the sickness scything lives down, together the strain had been too much to bear. One people had splintered into four, and not even a dragon princess and her beloved could heal the hate. They could only build and love and remember. Memory passed down from dragon to dragon, dragon child and kin. For spirits, I can't even count the generations. But he could feel them. Ghosts of countless lives of talon and wing and fire, of learning human thoughts, human words, yet never quite being of the two legs. It was a bit odd being only human again. More than odd, the professor thought, feeling the warmth of Mei Xiang's hand on his own, knowing that warmth. Now, for more than mere touch, it was a fire of the mind, constantly seeking, constantly testing. Are you prey, enemy, kin? He could feel Mei Xiang reaching, but he couldn't answer. Not the way that long-lost firebender had been able to. Qin Gami could bend the energy within himself. All Tinkcha had was earth. I love you. Mei Xiang murmured. Tinkcha smiled, comforted, and made certain Jia got her tea, even if she wanted to fuss and claim she didn't need it. There was so much to think about. Asagi Tatsu doesn't look like that anymore, Lungswiz said over the clinking cups. And perhaps it was his imagination, but Tinkcha swore he felt the shock radiating from a handful of firebenders. You know where Asagi Tatsu is? You just showed it to us, Lungswei protested. I showed you the volcano as it is, Shidan said bluntly. Hundreds of avatars have lived and died. The mountains themselves have been scoured by wind and rain, or lifted by the fire within their hearts. The clans of Shiratora and Asagi Tatsu have not been allied for a long, long time. I know it is north. I know it is danger. I know it killed Yangchen. It will erupt again, and we dare not seek it with the Fire Lords hunting dragons. I do not know where it lies.
Typical, Longsway muttered. Kills dozens of us, and the only one people ever talk about is the Avatar. Yangchen would bust heads about that, trust me. She knew the Avatar couldn't be everywhere. Hey!
Saluan poked his shoulder again. Big, blowing-up fire mountain? The warrior said frankly. Where? Why does it matter? We're not...
Longsway stared at Zuko, eyes narrowed in suspicion.
North. And maybe airbenders.
No, you wouldn't!
Zuko raised his brow, unfolded a map of the northern continent to lay it in front of all those seated, and pointed.
Ah, Tinkcha thought. Indeed. Are you insane?
Longsway yelped. You were planning to put us on a volcano? That's...
Iroh coughed into his fist. Entirely common in the Fire Nation.
He paused.
Though I had thought the mount by the Northern Air Temple was unnamed, I pray it still is.
I don't, Mei Xiang said gravely. Remember the old rhyme, General.
I know many, he stated. Which one?
Teruko cleared her throat. With all due respect, General, you don't know this one. Or you wouldn't have to. She inclined her head at Mei Xiang. Go on.
Listen and remember,
Mei Xiang stated, gathering her kin with her eyes.
Volcanoes of earth kill, those of water destroy. Listen and learn the names of death. Kurokame, Akitori, Shirotora, Asagi Tatsu. Lake boil, burn, stone. Shirotora stands alone, 500 years from rage to rage. Tiger rattles at his cage. Lake boil, burn stone. Asagitatsu stands alone. 1,000 years from rage to rage, a dragon rattles at her cage.
Silence. Tinkcha gripped her fingers tightly.
Every 5 centuries, more or less, Shirotora wishes very much to explode,
Shidan said into the stunned hush.
It is what saved Byakko in Sozin's time, and what saves us to this day. If we keep ourselves, some children, who may be firebenders, if we train them in our ways and not the Fire Lord schools, Shirotora is deadly, and he will kill unless coaxed otherwise. He paused. Kurokami waits 6,000 years, Akitori half that long. Both are beyond the lands of men, safe kept by dragons who wish nothing to do with humankind. Only Asagitatsu remains, once held by Makoto's blood.
Clawed fingers clenched.
If Asagitatsu slew Avatar Yangchen and has since kept silent, she is 100 years overdue.
If, Iroh said firmly, we cannot be sure.
Yes, Tinkcha said, startling himself. I believe we can.
Well, he was used to eyes on him in the lecture hall. This was different. Tinkcha straightened his shoulders and nodded, just as if he were about to instruct a class.
Shidan's tale tells us of both kinds of volcanoes. Those of Earth have limited effects. The ash...
Unconsciously, he rubs his fingers together, remembering the feel of unseen bits of glass and soot.
The ash can travel miles, yes. A few days' ride, likely.
He paused.
There is no volcano a few days from Ba Sing Se.
Ah, undivided attention. If only his pupils had been as rapt.
There are 2 layers I can be sure of,
Tinkcha went on.
Very old, very deep, in every land I have ever dug. The elder marks about 2,000 years ago. The younger was 1,100 years ago, almost exactly.
He swallowed dryly.
Ba Sing Se has records of the blackened sky, the fall of ash, the walking dead from the north, who had breathed ash and drowned on dry land. Avatar Yangchen's death brought horror and fear. No nation dared attack another. There was nothing to spare to attack with. The spirit's only blessing was that it was winter. Had that ash fallen a few months earlier or later? On the crops?
He shook his head.
We can't do this, Mien said, stunned.
Tinkcha fought not to raise an eyebrow, and eyed his daughters when they might have leapt to protest. Mien had a point.
He's right, Longsui said shakily. Yangchen couldn't get Asagitatsu to back down. All of us together couldn't. Sure, we were holding off Subode, but there were dozens of us, and you've only got 2 Yauren here.
3, Shirong put in.
Because 1 more makes so much of a difference.
Longsui said sarcastically. He stood.
Make another plan. Turn this ship around. We can't win this.
We have to. Still seated, Zuko tapped the map once, stark and deadly.
Look. There's nothing on that map that makes suicide. Look.
Longsui looked at the cove, at the marked volcano, at the symbol of the ancient temple, and rubbed what had to be a worse headache than Tinkcha's.
They'll die if they stay. We'll have to get them out, too.
Zuko glanced at him, moved his finger west-northwest, to what had to be a very chill harbor indeed. That's where the fleet went down.
An awful victory, yes, Tinkcha thought. But I don't see...
And then he did. horribly. Shidan's gifted memories of Ko and dragons and the face stealer's victims reeling through his head like a nightmare. The face stealer holds the drowned dead. Longsway got out, pale. Twi and La protect us. They're already busy protecting their own, Amaya told him. If the Avatar noticed nothing amiss after the ocean walked, they are protecting the Northern Water Tribe. She traced her own finger over the map. Tug the currents here, strongly, and no wind from Asagitatsu would reach them. That is where they will spend their power. Blue eyes swept over them all. We have our own histories, chanted and written. The year Avatar Kuruk was born, the southern sky grew black. You could hear a roaring as if a wounded snow beast that went on and on for days. But it did not touch us. They're not going to be that lucky this time, Zuko muttered, raised his gaze and his voice as all eyes went to him. Not with all that death in the water, right there where the face stealer can use it. And he will. People are going to die. Half the world is going to die. We have to go. We have to stop it. The Avatar, Iroh began. Zuko shot to his feet. Asagitatsu eats Avatars, uncle. Aang's young. He doesn't know fire, and she will kill him. That's Ko's plan. It's been his plan all along. Iroh rose, matching angry gaze with his steadiness. Explain, nephew. You can't see it? Zuko waved at the map. How can you not see it? Plot, lethal, twisted, walk right into it if you're lucky. It's right there. We have not all had the benefit of your sister's devoted attentions, Iroh said dryly. What do you see? 100 years, Zuko bit out. Where would the elders have sent Aang to learn water? Where did he go? He pointed towards northern ice. Aang's got the curiosity of a cat owl and the survival sense of a gnat. If he saw a mountain smoking, what do you think he'd do? What did he do at the Wushan volcano? Run like a sane person? No, he tried to stop it. And walls and trenches and blowing air around might stop lava, but what Asagitatsu's gonna throw at him? Zuko's hands clenched, fire blazing for a heartbeat.
You mean what she's going to throw at us? Shirong managed. Not without warning, Shidan said thoughtfully. It takes months for a water volcano to ready itself to erupt.
He nodded towards the mark of the Northern Air Temple,
which is likely why we are all still breathing now. Aang was not in the north long enough, not nearly as long as he should have been, to truly learn water.
Because he ran off, Zuko said, half to himself. He went south and got himself frozen, and Katara learned water up there instead. Blind, dumb luck. He let out a breath. Shidan's right. Asagitatsu's not going to blow yet. Not until late summer. Harvest. He smirked, cold and angry. This time Ko wants to be sure. Tinkja held his family tightly, horrors out of history sending ice down his spine. Ash across the fields, destroying the crops. Ash in the lakes, choking the fish. Ash filling lungs with no bending healers to save those choking on their own blood. Kuan Yin, Agni, help us all.
And you think we can stop him?
Shirong sounded too stunned to disbelieve. Yes. Fear and strength and pure will, beating back the dark. Tingcha remembered to breathe. Shirong nodded and spread empty hands.
How?
How indeed, Tingcha wondered, caught between terror and amazement. If Asagitatsu could kill avatars... Asagitatsu is bound to Makoto's blood, Zuko said firmly, and swallowed.
Makoto was Fire Lady Tenjina, Sozin's wife.
Mother of Azulon,
the mind of a scholar filled in, as Tincture tried not to sputter.
Grandmother of Iroh and Fire Lord Ozai.
Spirits and little fishes, they had Makoto's children. It should let us get close enough to talk, Zuko went on. If she's willing to hear us out, if she'll let us soothe the magma down. We don't have enough firebenders, I know that. We don't have enough training in volcanoes, even if we did. But we have earthbenders. We have waterbenders. It's the water in the magma that kills people. If we can open vents, bend it out, take the pressure off.
Iroh regarded his nephew thoughtfully, turned his glance on Shidan.
It is possible,
the dragon said reluctantly.
If Asagi Tatsu is willing to be persuaded, it might work. But the risk
is worth it. Zuko's eyes seemed to devour the map before he gave them a glance that should have seared the very air with its fierceness. If we win this, we win it all.
Shirong eyed the map, and Zuko, and the map again.
No, he said in disbelief. Yes! Teruko was grinning ear to ear, pounding a fist on her thigh. Oh, yes, sir! I knew you had a plan!
Shidan looked amused, Tincture judged, and almost as grimly delighted. And Iroh? The general, Tincture reflected, looked as if he'd been asked to swallow a bowl full of molly guppies. Alive.
Why?
Prince Zuko. Iroh's voice was full of foreboding. You will not try to blackmail the Avatar.
Yes, Zuko said with that same fierce smile. I will.
Tincture's jaw dropped.
Oma and Shu, is he mad?
Iroh was shaking his head as if he couldn't believe his own ears. Of all the foolish things you have done in your 16 years.
The Avatar believes in four nations, four separate peoples.
Zuko looked at his uncle.
These are my people, uncle. I will protect them.
Iroh gave him a disbelieving glance.
Surely Aang would never be so unkind.
He's not kind, uncle. I know him.
Zuko held out empty hands, pleading.
Yes, it's crazy. Yes, I could get killed. Worse than killed. Yes, I'm not taking anyone to Asagi Tatsu who doesn't volunteer. Byakko will help hide people if we have to. Please, just listen.
Iroh regarded him for a long moment, sighed and inclined his head.
Tell me then, tell me why you, who have healed this boy, cannot trust he will respect that obligation to those under your care.
Because he's not just a boy, uncle, Zuko said soberly. He's the Avatar. He doesn't have obligations. Not to anyone human.
Iroh frowned.
Kuzan knew him, Zuko insisted. Grandfather and I discussed it. Aang is a lot of things, uncle. He's brave, he's smart when he takes the time to think instead of chasing butterflies. He wants to do the right thing, whenever he thinks he knows what the right thing is. And the right thing isn't kind. The right thing, what he's been taught is right, is that the four nations have to be separate. Always. Air nomad, uncle. No family, no land, no clan. They give up their own children because it's the right thing to do.
Zuko swallowed. He won't even be angry about it. He'll just be upset, confused, because we're doing something so horribly wrong, and good people don't do bad things. That's not the way his world works. So we're not good people. We can't be. And if we're not...
He waved toward the map and the Arctic harbor that had swallowed a fleet.
If you are wrong, Iroh began,
If I'm wrong, he never has to know. Zuko waved his hands. We're just a bunch of people living on a volcano. Like Byakko, like Wushan. He'll just think we're crazy. He already thinks I'm crazy. He probably won't even notice. He met Iroh's gaze. Not one path to victory, Uncle. All paths. You taught me that.
3 years of chasing the Avatar, and now he listens.
Iroh said dryly, stroking his beard.
Strategically, there is merit to your plan. But what does your heart say, nephew?
Zuko's shoulders slumped, straightened as the young man faced the general, unflinching. My heart says my people are going to die, Uncle.
Iroh stiffened. My heart says I know Aang, that he's nice but not kind, that he's so nice, so brave, so sure he has to do what's right. He'll lead the good guys against the bad guys, or everybody else against the Fire Nation. And because he's so nice, he'll believe they are the good guys, as long as they're beating the bad guys. No matter what they do to beat the bad guys.
Zuko swallowed dryly. My heart says there are widows and orphans, thousands of widows and orphans, who are screaming in their sleep, torn by nightmares of the Siege of the North, of their mothers and fathers who aren't ever coming home. And if, when the Avatar comes to the Fire Nation,
they'll kill themselves trying to get to him, Teruko said soberly. You know they will, sir. I would. More to the point, they'll kill anyone between them and the Avatar, and they'll be creative.
Shirong winced.
Given the Earth Army's standing orders on firebenders who invent new techniques,
he had to pause.
From personal experience, once you start doing things as black as attacking children, it's very hard to stop. I don't want to hear this, Tingcha thought, aching inside. I don't want to imagine it.
But he could. Oma and Shu help him, he could.
Yet if there is a place for those bereft to vent their rage in action, Shidan said thoughtfully, where they can mourn their dead and feed the flames to beckon lost ghosts home, we will at one stroke drain away that tainted power the Face Stealer seeks, and save our people's lives.
At startled looks, he smiled.
We have practice in extracting people from the Fire Nation. A very great deal of practice. Now that, Mai mused, sounds interesting.
Shidan's brows climbed. He chuckled.
I would be most grateful for the assistance, Lady Mai. You may have observed that certain gifts run in my family.
A hint of gleaming teeth.
Diplomacy is not one of them.
Mai's answering smirk was thin, but there.
I noticed.
You want to go back there? Mean blurted. Why?
Tingcha kept manfully silent, even when he wanted to roll his eyes.
Ah, to be a young man, blithely confident that girls wanted what you wanted, and never, ever had their own agenda.
I left a friend with Azula, Mai said simply. I didn't have a choice then. Now I do.
But who's going to teach us? Suyin asked, stricken.
Your mother knows knives. So do the Marines. And your cousin.
Mai nodded toward Zuko.
He doesn't show off, but he's not bad.
Her gold eyes were set, unflinching.
But they can't step back on shore in the Fire Nation without risking a death sentence. I can.
Death? Mean gulped. That's what exile means.
Zuko's voice wasn't quite calm.
Cross into Fire Nation waters. Anyone can kill you.
He smirked a little.
Though Zhao just tried to catch me, until the Avatar pulled a temple down on his head.
Avatar Roku, Iroh reminded him. Not Avatar Aang. Zuko took a breath, let it steam out. I'm not going to argue about this again, he said quietly. You think it's not his fault. I think it is. Fine. That doesn't change the result. He pointed to the map. And neither will taking Asagitatsu. If we can win this, Uncle, we can give our people a home. We can give Earth King Kuei, our ally, the buffer he wants between Earth and Air. We can make sure G, the Mechanist, never builds another weapon for the Fire Lord. And even if we can't do any of that, one hand closed in a fist, we'll know when the mountain's going to blow. We can send out warnings. If there's early crops, if the Earthbenders can get them underground before the ash falls.
There are many defenses against ashfall and the glass knives of tainted air, Shidan said soberly. None are perfect, but we will see that knowledge spread as far as we can. He grinned dryly. After all, if the Earth King gives an order, his people might obey.
Shirong was studying the map, face still pale.
You realize, if this thing goes off, the Fire Lord's not going to need an army to take the Earth Kingdom. All he has to do is wait.
If he were willing to wait, Fire Lord Azulon would still be alive. Zuko shook his head. One problem at a time. Volcano first, get our people sheltered, get those ghosts called home. Then we worry about my father.